This is 5-on-3. Center ice for all things Islanders, Rangers, and all news across the NHL on WFUV Sports.
And hello, everyone. Today is Wednesday, October 2nd, 2024, and this is episode 2 of 5-on-3, WFUV's best, if only, hockey podcast. I am Tucker Austin, joined today by Lydia Perner and Grace McCarron. Trey Rodriguez is holding things down for us behind the glass, and it is the preseason. It's going to be hard to follow up the first episode of this podcast with this episode now, just because they did a great job outlining their picks for all of the divisions across the NHL. Now we go back to our regularly scheduled programming of like little bits of NHL news, and then we'll cover our local teams, the Rangers and Islanders, whatever, who cares about them. But then the New Jersey Devils, of course, have to get in the mix, because why wouldn't they? Metro team, metro area, gotta love the New Jersey Devils. But let's start off easy, guys. How are we doing today? Lydia, we'll start with you.
I could be better. I just did a whole info systems assignment for the past 2 hours, and Microsoft Excel decided it didn't want to save, so I'm taking a nice break to talk some puck, and then I will be going back and doing another 2 hours of that. But other than that, couldn't be better on this beautiful Wednesday here in the Bronx.
Yeah, I'm pretty good. Excited for hockey season to get moving, but swamped with work this week. But I am focusing on hockey because that's what's important.
Yeah, I'm actually also going to have to wrap up an assignment after this podcast. So we're in the same boat just a little bit there. But opening it up with just some of the general NHL news that's come out in the last couple of days. Gary Bettman made a press release the other day that detailed a couple things about the talks for the CBA between the NHL and the NHL Players Association that are going to get going in probably January or February of next year. The current CBA expires in September of 2026, so they've got plenty of time to negotiate that. And one of the biggest talking points is going to be that salary cap movement. It's currently $88 million. And the tentative number that Gary Bettman gave in that release was $92.5 million. But pretty much every source I've seen outside of ESPN has said to like just wait on it, because it's really early to be making a call on the number like that. And because the $92.5 million is that like that 5% jump that's already in the CBA that's supposed to happen anyway. But, I mean, thoughts on that salary cap movement, I guess. I mean, it should open things up for a few teams, right?
I mean, I, as a Rangers fan, absolutely need that. We have no idea how to manage an $88 million salary cap. And with Igor Shesterkin looking for a contract extension, you have Laff needing to be extended, Miller. Right now, as the salary cap stands, I really do think only two of those three guys can stay on the team. Obviously, Trouba coming off next year, the books, is big, but I don't really trust Chris Drury with the current cap situation that I've seen the past few seasons, so I need that 92.5 number.
Yeah, I think it's generally, like, across hockey, it's good for teams to have a little more wiggle room on that. And I also love that they're getting started on the talks early, because you don't, like, we all hate lockouts. Like, when MLB had their lockout a couple of years ago and the NFL had it, like, nobody likes that, especially for a league that needs a little more traction in the States. So I like that they're getting this started early.
And I'm really happy about the transparency overall here, just like from the NHL to have to have Gary Bettman come out and say that they're starting negotiations at the start of next year, and just like being open about the process. It's not something that you get with a lot of the other commissioners of the major sports leagues in the United States. So shout out Gary Bettman for that. I know a lot of people probably don't like Gary Bettman, but this was definitely a good thing, I think, overall. Another thing that was on this press release from Gary Bettman was the idea of shortening the preseason and adding those games to the regular season. I think the number they're looking at is like two. So like take two games out of the preseason, which currently sits at five or six games, and add those to the regular season. It would make the regular season 84 games long. And I would just ask you guys for any thoughts on extending the regular season or the existence of the preseason at all. Personally, I hate the preseason because the games are they're not awesome, and it's kind of an injury risk at the end of the day.
I mean, it's not kind of.
It very much is an injury risk at the end of the day.
I mean, this season's the preseason has not been good to any teams. I mean, starting with the Rangers, we had Lindgren go down, and then VC obviously not in the games, but he got hurt, and then Panarin's questionable. But then if you go out west, Doughty month to month in a collision with a guy who is a career AHLer, you have Patrick Laine. He's not getting surgery, but he's out month to month. You have Arber Jacquet running around just trying to destroy guys injury-wise, fighting.
Matt Rempe skating face first into the boards for no reason.
Yeah, but that could happen. That's just a day that ends in Y, let's be honest here.
But, I mean, we brought it up last night in our group chat, though, when we were planning for the show. Macklin Celebrini went down, too. It's just... It's insane that there are so many of these injuries that happen in the preseason, and then all of these teams get off, that have injuries, they just get off to a stunted start for maybe a month or 2 months, maybe even longer.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think it does make sense because if you think about what the preseason is, it's a bunch of guys, fringe guys, trying to make a team that need to play at 110%, and then you have the regulars that are just out there like Nikita Kucherov in the NHL All-Star game just playing to get their feet wet on the ice. So then when you have that balance, then you just get good players, star players, if you will, with guys like Doughty, Laine, Nylander even, getting injured by, I don't know, I don't want to say it's not necessary plays because they need to make that difference maker. If you're a fringe player, you have to play with aggression and you have to, show the coaches what you've got, but not against these big guys that are getting hurt ultimately.
Yeah, obviously the preseason is important to evaluate talent beyond the stars, when you take guys from the AHL, but you don't ever want to have more of an injury risk, especially for the Rangers are now beat up, I think you can say that, and Macklin Celebrini for the Sharks, you just don't want to see these kinds of things happen before the season starts. So I think cutting it by two games too, that would still mean there's four preseason games, that's plenty, I think.
Yeah, honestly, three or four seems like a really a pretty legitimate number, especially
perfect.
Considering training camp starts before the preseason, so they're already skating at a high level. I know the Devils were in a super intensive training camp in the 3 days leading up to their first preseason game against the Islanders, but once they got to that preseason game, they were totally gassed in the third period, and it's because they had been training so hard earlier in that week. But I think what the preseason is about, it's about building the stamina back to a full game. It's about getting NHL guys on the ice and ready for the NHL season. What I don't think the preseason should be for necessarily is for guys trying to make the team. I get the idea of showcasing guys, but I feel like teams either need to be on the same page about playing showcase rosters so that we don't have a Devils situation where the New Jersey Devils, for those of you who don't know, are in Prague, Czechia right now. The main team is not in the United States, and the New Jersey Devils have played two games this week, and none of the Devils were actually there. It was the Utica Comets head coach, equipment manager.
Yeah.
Basically, from the ground up, it was almost entirely Utica Comets or Adirondack Thunder personnel playing against the New York Rangers. I mean, that's not necessary. Those games just don't need to be played. And, maybe if you're the Rangers, send your AHLers at them.
They did in New Jersey, but yesterday, they had to get actual guys playing. But the one big issue I have with preseason is when you think about it, you are playing against your arch rivals for the first time. If you think about around here, Islanders play the Rangers play the Devils. If you go out west,
the Flyers get in the mix a little bit.
Exactly. Yeah. But if you go out west, you have the Battle of Alberta in preseason. You think the fans aren't going to get juiced up for a preseason game like they absolutely are just because of the hatred organizations have for each other. Toronto, Montreal, Toronto, Ottawa. You're having just arch rivals play against each other. And I don't care if it's preseason. There's just a certain intensity that comes with those games. So yeah, I hate the preseason.
And I mean, there were two fights in the Devils-Rangers game last night. Yeah. And that was, like, it was AHLers on the Devils and like mostly AHLers on the Rangers, but they were still throwing down. Matt Rempe's still rolling around trying to kill somebody. So.
What a guy. What a guy.
Love that guy.
Doing hot to go after the game, too.
That was so funny. I'll admit that, even as an Isles fan.
But anyway, I think that brings us into our local talk then with the Rangers and the Devils. They played a false Hudson River rivalry this week. That's what I like to call it, because it really was the Utica Comets versus the New York Rangers for two games. But the Devils, the fake Devils, got the win on Monday night, 3-1. But then they moved to Madison Square Garden last night, and the Rangers got the win, 5-4. Big story for the Rangers out of last night, though, is that Artemi Panarin leaves the game with an injury. And I believe as of the recording of this podcast, we still don't have an update on Panarin's injury. So a lot of question marks there. Certainly a lot of concern with just one preseason game left. What does a Rangers team look like without the bread man on opening night?
I think the move to take him out of the game last night, and he came out of another preseason game, I think, was it versus the Islanders? I think it's precautionary. The Rangers are off today, so obviously we don't have that Laviolette press release to see what it is. I think it's said to be a lower body injury. I'm under the impression he's going to be there at least, at the very least, for opening night on the 12th. I'm sure he's going to make the trip to Pittsburgh. I really do think it was a precautionary thing. He skated in a non-contact jersey yesterday and obviously suited up for the game. But I don't even want to get into a scenario without Breadman on against Pittsburgh, because what we saw yesterday was Cooley got moved up to that line. But I'm a huge Will Cooley fan. I'm not really a fan of him on that line. I like him on the third line with Hedl and Kako. So to me, the only other person who would move into that spot would be if they want to have Othman give it a shot, because that fourth line, even with VC hurt, is looking to be the Edstrom, Carrick, and Rempe. So honestly, if Panarin's out, I have no idea what direction Laviolette's going to go, but that does open up a spot for a guy like Brendan Othman.
Yeah, I'm mostly a little, if I'm a Rangers fan, I'm a little bit concerned, because it's the second time in the span of the past 2 weeks that he's come out with a lower body injury against the Isles last week as well. And I know they keep saying it's precautionary, like it's only the preseason, which is like probably true. Like it's probably not a very dire situation, and it is just the preseason, so why would you take the risk and keep him in? But I don't know. I'm a little worried that it happened twice, if it could aggravate the injury from last week into this week, and then that could just keep spiraling. But I'm a little bit concerned if I'm a Ranger fan.
But again, it is the preseason, so really, like, things that happen in the preseason, you can't necessarily, like, make full sense of them. That goes down even to just, like, what happens in the games, which is why it's hard to analyze any of this, because, like, once the puck drops on opening night, it's like a complete reset. Like anything that happened in the preseason, the Devils are 1-5 in the preseason, and they're going to, like, they'll probably be fine. 1-5 isn't an accurate reflection of how they're going to play in the regular season once we get going. But, I mean, there's room to be concerned here and there. But regardless, back to the Rangers. 4-1 in the preseason. A lot better performances overall. Not all the NHL guys, but I think what we've seen from the NHL guys so far has been pretty much exactly what we expect. Rangers will go after President's Trophy defense this year.
No, thank you. I'll take second place.
Yeah, I doubt you guys would actually want that anymore at all.
Give it to the Bruins. But, so
the Rangers play their last preseason game on Friday against the Islanders on Long Island. Should be an interesting game. We'll probably see a almost complete NHL roster from both teams, if not a complete roster, because it's the last preseason game. We want to really get things rolling. But moving into the New Jersey Devils, I want to touch on the Devils first, because I love the Devils.
Only you.
Saving the best for last, I see. I'm fine with that.
But as I mentioned before, the Devils are out in Prague for the Global Series versus the Buffalo Sabres. Those games are going to be on Friday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time and Saturday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. I'm not actually sure if either of those are going to be televised. I don't think they are. I saw like NHL Network, but I'm pretty sure that'll be radio because it's like, it's Czechia. It's very far away. I doubt you could get a team to actually roll out there. But did you guys have any thoughts on like the Global Series as a whole? Like, I think it's really cool that teams get to go play a couple games internationally. The fans look awesome out there.
I mean, I would agree. I think were the Sabres in Germany last week playing some preseason games and seeing the reception that J.J. Paterka got from his home country was awesome, and just kind of expanding the league out there. I know Czechia is an IHF country and they do get to participate in those international tournaments, but I do think just allowing NHL teams to go out there, it only grows the league, with a league that has kind of been stagnant with in terms of growth for years. So I do think it's important. Obviously the time difference is a little bit of a struggle, but I like that the Devils and Sabres are going out there for the Global Series.
Yeah, I think the Global Series is really cool. It kind of is a little bit like how baseball tries with the World Baseball Classic, kind of on a smaller scale. But I agree with what you said, Lydia. They do need a little bit more of the worldwide expansion. I know, like, they have a lot of international players, obviously, but it's so heavily focused on Canada and the United States that having them play in other countries would be pretty cool. So no complaints here, for sure.
Oh, I think having the the center of gravity shift of like where the talent is coming from in hockey, like it's shifted from Canada down south into the United States over the past probably over the past like 5 years that we've been seeing the change happen, and it's almost like fully complete now where like the United States is overtaking. But I think once that is fully complete, they'll have to start looking outside, like sort of similar to like, well, maybe not similar to the NFL situation, but like the NFL feels that its American market is very tapped out. So that's why it's going more global every year, because it's trying to attract more fans. I'm not sure if the NHL needs that like international fan market. I feel like there's a lot of people still in the United States who don't really watch hockey that much, but could totally be tapped into. But I mean, it never hurts to, you know, get the word around to the rest of the world about the NHL. Especially those other hockey playing nations like your Czechia or Germany, Sweden, any of those like Central Eastern European countries that play a lot more hockey. Like, who knows, maybe one day there will be an NHL game in Russia. Obviously now that wouldn't be like, that probably wouldn't be super possible with the geopolitical scape, but you know, one day, I think there's a lot of Russian players in the NHL. I think it would be really cool if they had games in Russia. I'm sure the fans would be ecstatic about
Russia
it.
Russia would be an electric market.
Like, it really would. It's just not really unlocked to the league right now. But anyway, back to just wrap the Devils. I want to mention that so far in the preseason, Markstrom has looked very good. Really just standing on his head, facing a lot of shots, but saving most of those shots. I mean, seeing a competent tender in net as a Devils watcher, it's really something special. But also that meat line, the fourth line for the Devils this year is going to be Curtis Lazar, Paul Cotter, and Nathan Bastian. That line has looked really, really good. And the Devils have been, they've been very top-heavy in terms of their offensive talent, but this line with Lazar, Cotter, and Bastian in the fourth line, it looks like they have four lines of offensive guys that could go out there and be problems for the other team consistently. And I mentioned before they've gone 1-5 in the preseason, but what do you guys think of the Devils this year?
I think the main issue with there was two issues with the Devils last year. Injuries and goaltending. So with those two things, you got Markstrom, so that's a huge add, unfortunately.
Goaltending more or less solved, but
yes, I would say having Hughes healthy, having Meyer actually have a good season is huge. I mean, Brat's already gotten on the score sheet. He's seen the back of the net quite a bit. So having like that line, that's the line that I think obviously is going to separate the Devils, because I thought that line was not bad last year. I do think the one thing with the Devils also last year, defense was a major issue, and they did go out and get some guys in free agency. You got Pesci, obviously.
Pesci,
he's
but
starting,
he's still, yeah.
Injured.
He's starting injured, but he was skating on his own as of, like, last week. And as far as I know, he's on track to come back relatively quickly. Like, he shouldn't be missing from the Devils lineup for too long. One guy who will be missing for a while, though, probably is going to be Luke Hughes.
Yeah, that's not a loss. That's a benefit for the Devils, let's be honest.
Well, oh, I Calder Trophy candidate last year. Like,
it was because of nepotism.
There may have been a little bit of nepotism. Nobody look at the cover of NHL 25. Yeah. Nobody look. Please don't look at the cover of the game. It there's just no need to look. Nobody in particular is on that cover.
But I do, back to the office, I do like the Brendan Dillon ad as well. He's a great player. He's a big body back there. The one thing is, I think just making sure that these guys mesh is a big thing, because on paper, I do really like the Devils' roster and lineup and pairings, but it's all a matter of can they actually put it together on the ice, which they did not last season.
Much to your glee.
I was quite happy.
Yeah, I agree with everything you just said. Like, obviously, injuries are not really something that you can do anything, like, they're going to happen, but when you put this team together on paper, I think they are definitely contending for the Metropolitan Division, but, like, at the end of the day, everybody has to stay healthy. I do like that they've improved the goaltending, though. That's huge, if Markstrom is going to be really good.
I like that you mentioned that it's going to be interesting to see all these different guys kind of mesh together, because it was a big offseason in terms of additions, and it wasn't a lot of
Sheldon
guys.
Sheldon Keefe as well.
Yeah, that's. I was just going to get to that.
I miss Lindy Ruff on the Devils.
As a Rangers fan, I'm sure you
great
do.
Great bench
but
boss. Bring him back.
But the addition of Sheldon Keefe on top of bringing all these new guys in, it's like, okay, now not only are you bringing several new heads into the program, but you're also bringing all of the guys who were here originally into a new program in themselves. So it's square one for literally everybody in the room, including the head coach. It's going to be it'll probably take a little bit of, like, feeling out the system, trying to figure out where everybody fits. And that's kind of, I think that's another reason why the Devils are 1-5 in the preseason, outside of the fact that half the team is not here.
No excuses.
But yeah.
Be better.
I think Sheldon Keefe's system just needs a little bit of time to sort of, like, get settled. The players need time to settle into the system. It's not going to happen instantaneously. But I would expect by the end of October, I think, is a pretty decent benchmark. Like, if the team isn't rolling, or at least starting to roll by the end of October, I think that's when you can start to ask questions. But we'll save those questions for the end of October. The fake Devils play tomorrow at Philly. Watch it if you want, I guess. AHL guys playing against the Philadelphia Flyers. That kid, who's that kid on the Flyers?
Michkov.
He looks nice, so maybe watch for him. But
gross, some might say.
Regardless, our final team, last but I suppose not least, the New York Islanders, 3-2 in the preseason. A nice little middle ground between the Devils and the Rangers. They got the win on Monday against the Flyers. 4 goal scorers in that game for the Islanders. Really spreading things around. You love to see it. And they were all NHLers.
Yes.
So no garbage goals either. And Grace, you are one of our New York Islanders beat reporters, so I'll turn it over to you for this segment. What's going on over in the island?
Well, the big news out of skating today was that Ilya Sorokin was taking shots, which that's the first time. Right. Big double thumbs up on
very,
that
very
one. Sorokin's back.
Igor's friend.
Exactly. We know he had back surgery in the offseason. He has been skating on his own, but we did not hear about him taking shots until today. So that's big for his progress. And then, I mean, beyond him, for goaltending, Varlamov has been solid. Like, I'm not complaining. He was good the other night when I was there Friday against the Devils. But he's 36, so, like, you can't ask that much of him in the regular season.
Oh,
so
yeah, you could definitely slide him in, though, for
yes,
Sorokin, like,
absolutely,
here and there when Sorokin needs a day off. It's a very fine goalie tandem to have.
Yes, I'm not concerned about their goaltending at the moment. Another interesting story is, for me, is Kyle MacLean, who I actually talked to after the game the other night, and he was super nice, so now I'm a big fan of his. He's been doing well on their fourth line with Casey Sizikas, I think I'm saying that right, but with Cal Clutterbuck departing, sadly, high motor and stealthy, they needed a little bit of that. He's scored two goals so far, one on Friday and one on Monday. But overall, things are looking pretty good for the Islanders. I love their top line, Duclair, Horvat, and Barzal. I think that's going to be really, really dangerous for the rest of the league. And, I mean, overall, feeling pretty good about things. I was joking when I said they were going to go to the Stanley Cup Finals earlier, but you never know.
Yeah, you're never seeing another Stanley Cup. Yeah. 1967 is the last one you'll ever see.
God, just professional hater.
Just a lot of mean feelings today.
It's okay. I feel the same thing about the Rangers.
Regardless, I actually got a chance in that first Devils game when I was on the beat. The Islanders were at the Prudential Center, so I got to see I got to see a lot of the main squad. And it wasn't any main goaltenders, but I did get to see this kid out of Russia, Maxim Siplikov.
Yeah.
He looks very nice.
He's like, been not, very nice.
Not like superstar yet, but like they're
simmering.
The foundations are there.
Absolutely.
For sure. He made one really incredible assist during that game, mm-hmm. where he received the pass up the left wing and brought it down near the goal. But as he was moving over the circle, he toe dragged just a little bit, mm-hmm. and then just kind of flicked it across under his leg. And I forget who had the finish on it, but it was honestly one of the most disgusting passes I've ever seen. I was like, why is that pass coming out in the first game of the preseason?
Yeah.
That is ridiculous.
Yeah, he's been, and Patrick Waugh has been very, he's been very complimentary of pretty much everybody during camp, but he has been especially complimentary of Siplikov. And he left the game on Friday in, I believe it was the third period with lower body, but he seems to be okay, so that's good news. And then one more point on the Islanders from me. Pierre Engvall has kind of been a little, I don't want to say a negative spot, but he's been a little bit of a question mark because he hasn't been amazing in the preseason or in camp. As I said, Patrick Waugh has been very positive about everything, but he was a little bit lukewarm on Engvall, and he has 6 years on his deal. So and he's, I believe he's 27. Something around there. He did well in the playoffs last season before they got eliminated. But that's the only thing that's kind of a question mark. So you can't really trade him. You can't, like, maybe you put him on waivers, but that's kind of like, that's harsh.
Yeah.
So
that's a very Rangers thing to do.
Yeah, that's kind of mean.
Rest in peace, Barkley Goodrow. Bomb and forgotten our playoff king.
No, that's a very good callback, actually. So I feel like that's kind of mean, but if he doesn't clean it up, they're going to have to do something about that. But that's, everything's well in Isles land, I think.
Yeah, and we'll get a better look of the Islanders again, like, and by nature of the Rangers playing against them on Friday. I've already mentioned their last preseason game, but it is also Friday. It's against the New York Rangers. It's at home. That'll be a good game for the Islanders. And it is, it's just been kind of a light week, given that it's the preseason, you know, and with the Devils just not even being here. I'd love to break down the Global Series against Buffalo, but it just hasn't happened yet. Really just kind of sitting here, like, waiting on the actual season to start next week. But I'm really excited for the start of the season, too. I suppose, you know what, I'll throw one more thing in here. It's kind of general NHL news. It's been a developing story. It applies, I guess, rivalry-wise to the Rangers a little bit, but it's the Swayman story with the Bruins. I mean, first the Bruins front office says they made him an offer, then his agent says no, they didn't, and were actually also disgraced by the number and also didn't receive it. Like, what is happening to the Boston Bruins?
As a New York sports fan from Massachusetts, I would love to see nothing more than the Bruins start the season without a goaltender after trading Ullmark. There would be nothing that would make me more happy. And I said this to one of my friends today who's a big Bruins fan. I was like, you know, Igor for Swayman in a 1-for-1 with Igor asking for $12 million and Swayman only asking for $8 million. Granted, yes, he's a restricted free agent. It's different negotiating. I don't hate it. I really don't hate it. I think the Rangers need to figure out how to play without relying on their goalie. But I do think Swayman, I've been a huge fan of him since I saw him play when he was on Maine. I was telling everyone, this guy's the future. Nobody wanted to listen to me, but I would be
now he's an all-star.
I would be so happy if the Bruins lost him because of Cam Neely. Silly comments in a press conference.
Yeah.
I
was most shocked, but like saying Cam Neely saying the number 64 million like straight up and that wasn't discussed to me is like so outrageous.
Why would you even like, bother saying
he thought he was
it.
Being funny too.
Why would you even not even just like he said exactly 64 million? Why would you even give like something around that? You know what I'm saying? Like, I think it's just so crazy to say the exact, like, yeah, I'll give him 64 million reasons why he should be playing. And then they're like, actually, we didn't get that offer. 64 million was never put on the table. Like, that's preposterous. To how do you mess that up? Like, I don't care about the Bruins, obviously, but I'm like outraged about this. Like, it's, what are we doing?
Yeah. And especially because the organization already said that, like, the ball is basically in Jeremy Swayman's court. It's actually, it's also Jeremy Swayman's ball, and like he has all of the control over the game. Like Jeremy Swayman is literally in the perfect position right now.
He's just doing crossovers at half court.
He's just like, come inside, guys, come get crossed up. Like Jeremy Swayman has all of the leverage in this situation, and you just start throwing numbers around in the press conference.
To mess up negotiations with an RFA is so Boston. So Boston. That is so embarrassing.
It leaves the door open for almost any other team to like slide in under the gun, because like I'm sure Swayman is a little bit disheartened with the Bruins after like an interaction like this in the off season, like. Why? Like, I guess it would be kind of petty, but you know, if you're Jeremy Swayman in this situation, if this organization disrespects you like one more time, I'm taking my ball and leaving.
Right, because they already did it last season with giving him that 1 year extension.
Yeah, and like putting this off until now, and then doing this with the situation, it's like just mistake after mistake.
Like, why would you? I'm just so confused. Like, why would you? If another team comes along and is like, yeah, we'll give you $67 million, like, why wouldn't he just be like, yeah, okay?
Well, they offered him $6.5 million. That's to me, like, Swayman, that's an insulting offer.
Yeah.
He was right up there with the best of them last year. And they did panic claim a young goalie off of waivers today. So, I don't know. I don't know if anything's shipping up in Boston.
It was 64 was like the number they just like kind of waived.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So
yeah, exactly.
For reference, Yusei Saros' 8-year deal with the Predators is $61.92 million total. So 64 would make depending on the year breakdown, I assume it's something like 8 or 9. Right.
I think they offered him 7 and he wanted 8.
So 7? Okay. So yeah. So an even shorter amount of time and more money, like it definitely, the 64 million number doesn't not make sense, if that makes any sense. Like, I don't hate the number itself in terms of like Swayman's ability compared to a guy like Juice. But I think if you're Swayman, you have right to be annoyed with the fact that they just kind of are throwing numbers around in press conferences when they literally haven't even talked to your agent yet. Like they're making something that should be a private discussion or like a private deal, and they're turning it into like a public spectacle, which like as a player, why do you just never want to be involved in anything like that?
And like, why would the Bruins think that saying this is a good idea? Like now he's probably pretty disheartened with the organization and like is like disgusted.
To be honest, it's probably not even the Bruins. Like it was probably just like a spur of the moment, like offhanded, maybe a little bit off-colored comment about like, oh, I could give him like XYZ number of reasons why he should come back to the Bruins, just throwing a number out for no reason, and then the media like latches onto it. That could be the case, but obviously, Swayman's camp and Swayman's agent went with the media's interpretation and was like, oh, well, that's nice that you guys made us an offer publicly, but, like, we would have preferred it if you did it in private. We also don't like the number, it's definitely a lot. It's a lot to have happen right before the season starts. Yeah. So, like, and they're running out of time quickly to get that deal like finalized and get Swayman, you know, back between the pipes again, because they definitely need him. Like, without Ullmark, like you mentioned, they went with Swayman. Swayman's the guy. You kind of got to lock him down. Can't really let him walk, because then you let Ullmark and Swayman walk in the same offseason, and it's a complete disaster.
Yeah, I don't know why they traded Ullmark without having Swayman.
Without having it done already.
That's the craziest mismanagement I've seen in a while.
Like, you and I could do better.
Yeah,
genuinely. We would have already
like Boston,
this
call us. Yeah,
exactly. Hire us.
Hire us. We're right here, yeah.
Yeah, well, the Bruins definitely running out of time to get their goalie between the pipes. And with that, that's also going to run us out of time today. So we got through some definitely some valuable information. I think we got a little bit more out of this week than I originally thought we could have, just because, again, it's the preseason. It's like only a handful of things going on. But like next week, it'll be right before, depending on when they do the recording next week, it'll probably either be right before the first games of the season or right after. If it's right after, then we will see you guys when the NHL season is in full swing. But for Trey Rodriguez behind the glass and for my co-hosts Grace McCarron and Lydia Perner, I am Tucker Austin saying so long. 5 on 3 is a production of WFUV Sports.